Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome back to part two with the Dean and EJ, the Books Boy.
And Alfred.
Woo! Whoa, baby!
Well, here we go, part two of episode 31 of Books Boys. And in just a moment, we're going to have a big announcement from good Sir PJ. Isn't that right?
Oh, yeah.
But first, we have two lovely voicemails that we've been left with some book recommendations. So I'm going to go ahead and we'll play those. We've got the first one. You might know him. It's a certain Dark Place Robert.
Hi, Dean. Dark Place Robert. Oh! Just wanted to give you a wee book recommendation. The name of the book is The Name of the Wind. It's by Patrick Rothfuss, and it is the first in a series of books called The King Killer Chronicles. The storyline is very cliche for a high fantasy novel. Small boy has idyllic childhood growing up with lovely family, then the family are all murdered and he goes off on his adventures.
Oh no.
Very standard. The only reason I'm actually recommending this is for the writing style itself. Story isn't captivating, but how the author actually conveys that story is what makes it fascinating. And I thought it'd be interesting for a read for yourself. Might get you hooked onto high fantasy, who knows? But enjoy.
Thank you very much, Robert. Although you'd have it sounds very good. You'd have a tough job getting me hooked on high fantasy, though.
You've been trying hard.
Low fantasy I can take, but I prefer my realism and my caricatures of realism.
Okay, don't want any hobbits going around your doorstep.
Yeah. Now, the second cameo, I'm going to give you the 10-second intro here. Recently, I reviewed a Zaphon. And, of course, if you go way back to a previous episode, one of the, in single figures, episode 5 or something like that, we did a whole episode on Zaphon. And so I recommended to someone that they start with Sombra del Viento. And, of course, a friend of mine, Lupita, read the book, and it seems like it's potentially now one of her favorite books, so she sent us a little message.
Hi guys, thank you for recommending Zaphon. It was a really good book. I mean, it has been a long time since I don't read, and yeah, I found this book really interesting. Everything in general, like the characters, they were amazing. I think they were well developed. I could understand the feelings of each character.
That's true. For Zaphon.
I could also identify with some of them. So, yeah. The scenes that the author described, I mean, I could see Spain through his eyes. So, that was cool.
Zaphon's Barcelona is very,
It was very. The suspense, it was full of suspense. And I don't know. I like it that you don't know what is going to happen next. Like, I was trying to figure out the ending, and it blew my mind, the ending. Like, I wasn't expecting that ending. Like, wow, what happened? And yeah, I really love it. It was like, wow. So It's one of the best books that I have read. So, yeah. Thank you, guys. It was a really great recommendation.
Awesome. That was La Sombra del Viento, and I've since lent her the sequel, El Juego del Ángel.
I loved it. I love Zaphon, yeah. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Thanks, both of you, for the reviews. Interesting also hearing what other people have to say about books. Well, yes, which, well, it brings up the what I wanted to mention to you guys, which is that I have an announcement to make that I am stepping down from my Books Boys, status. It makes me a bit sad to say so, but I have decided also that I am focusing more on my writing and more on my music, and that this is my primary focus still. But I'm also delighted to announce that our Playboy mutual friend Alex has taken the spot, and I'm really happy for it because it's what I was hoping for. So thanks, Alex. What got me into podcasting was actually Alex with the Slumber Time podcast. And I've been thinking a while back before that also, because my cousin Pork also had a radio show, and it just had been with me for a while. And then the fact that he made it during the COVID times just also made me do a few things myself, which you're welcome to find under Peter Burke Trap. And yeah, so it's been a hard decision to make, but I feel like it's time now just to focus on the other things rather than have too many. But I just want to say to you, Dean, thanks so much for starting. This has been a great journey, and we collaborate so many things, so I don't see why it should stop. And I just wish you and Alex the very best.
Thank you very much. We're gonna miss you. It's been a great time doing the show with
Yeah.
you, and we've done a good 2.5 years, so we
Exactly.
certainly gave it a good long try.
We
We're gonna
should.
miss you,
Yeah,
but
no.
hopefully he will enjoy his promotion, and hopefully he can lend some insight, just as good as you were. You're very good at that.
I always loved his insight, and we will be seeing each other in May anyway, so I'm delighted to see, to have that to look forward to. Yes.
That's true. We will see each other in May. We've collaborated in other things, as you mentioned. We've done some music together, and we did our poetry collection and things like that. So I'm sure there'll be other things in the future. And of course, you're always welcome to call in if you have read a good book just for 2 minutes and let us know about it. But myself and Alex will be hosting the next few episodes, and we'll see how we get on.
Feel free to use my voice with all the "this is a holiday" and "are you listening?
There
Is this a holiday?"
we go. We
They
needed it. We needed it one last time. Is
did. We
this a
needed it
holiday?
last time.
It
Is
will
this a
be
holiday,
a
guys?
holiday soon when I visit you.
I think it's a holiday just every day. I think that's what I like the JC quote. Yeah,
You're an
JC.
optimist. You're an optimist.
I am.
But for anyone listening, we are losing PJ, but don't worry, keep calm and read your Dickens, and we'll pick it up. But look, I had intended on bringing back some more old friends, and I was going to do Galdós and Balzac for your last. But unfortunately, I
Well,
misplaced the Galdós book that I had.
what?
Now, I have since found it, but it was too late to read it, So
It
instead of
was
reading, go ahead.
no, it's interesting I mentioned Galdós because I have a tiny small surprise for you waiting when you get here in May. Some not a book, not a book, but it's related to Galdós. You might be seeing some sacred spots, I'm just saying, here at the
Nice,
island.
nice.
So
Well, I, instead of Galdós, thought I would read. I have another Spanish classic, and I thought, I'll read that instead. I don't know if you know it or not, but Alex definitely doesn't, so I thought I might as well do it this month in place of Galdós.
What is
It's
it?
El Buscón, by
Oh,
Francisco de Quevedo.
I haven't read it, but it's a classic Baroque play, I believe, right? A bit not Lope de Vega, but this is, I think, 17th century, right? That's Spanish literature.
So we're talking early 1600s.
Okay, yeah.
Actually, it took about 20 years to be published, so this is
So
Quevedo's only book.
it probably is around Lope de Vega time. Okay, yeah. Okay. His only book.
His
It's
only
probably the first
book,
time.
which was published posthumously against his will. He never wanted it to
Oh,
be
really?
published.
It's famous, though.
He kind of wrote it as a literary exercise. There's a lot of kind of humor and jokes and witty wordplay, and I think he just wanted to see how that would go. But he never actually wanted it to be published, which is interesting because at the
Interesting.
very end, and it's not really a spoiler, but at the very end, the last line is, "You'll see in the next book how I fare in America." But there was never a next book, and there was never an intended next book.
Wow, that's really strange. But I
It's
don't really know
it,
anything
yeah.
about it, so yeah, I just know about the author, and I've mentioned, I hear the title many times.
I'm so gonna be honest.
Enlighten me.
I didn't love it. I felt I was gonna stop reading these really old Spanish books because I never feel like I get enough out of them. But I thought after reading 1,000 pages and really enjoying it, I thought, you know, I feel emboldened and confident.
And once again, you're not too enthusiastic.
No. Look, a lot of people say when you say you're reading old books like Victorian books or Shakespeare, like, oh, it's so old and boring. I've never felt that. I've never had a problem with it in English. And I don't have a problem reading modern novels in Spanish. But it's just when you get these early 1600s Spanish books, they can be tough going, you know?
I'm wondering how you feel about early 16th century Russian or, you know, Japanese books. I'm just wondering if it's something you just don't like around the time period.
Maybe. I mean, maybe in translation, though, they would be fine because the stories are always fine. They're dry to get through. This is also, it's not that long, right? It's only, I think, 300 pages. But it's a similar story to Don Quixote, right? It's the picaresque. It's this chap going around, getting involved in shenanigans. He changes his name a few times throughout the novel, actually. But he just goes around, and I'll give you a few plot details in a moment. There's not a massive amount of dialogue in it, which is another thing that I find slightly tricky to get through. I do like my dialogue. It was fine. It was light enough. It was enjoyable. I don't know. I always feel when I read these 1600s Spanish books that I'm not taking nearly enough out of it as I could, or as I might have done if it had been more modern style or in English, you know? But essentially, we're in the usual picaresque method. So this chap, he's a thief, right? He's a swindler. He's the Buscón. And I'm going to look this up because there's the full title of the book, actually. Some translations do just call it The Swindler, but there is actually a very long and full title here.
They usually do that for the novel.
History of the Life of the Swindler, called Don Pablos, Model for Hobos and Mirror of Misers.
Mirror of Misers.
That's fantastic. Mirror of Misers is fantastic.
I think that's a phrase that you're going to use a lot for now.
Some translations call him the swindler, the scavenger, or here's what I don't like, Paul the Sharper. They've translated Don Pablos just to Paul, which I didn't love.
I can imagine.
But I've got it down on Wikipedia, so just as I said, written in 1604, published in Zaragoza in 1626 without the author's permission.
So actually just 1 year before Don Quixote was released. I mean, Don Quixote was probably written around the same time. Okay, I thought that it was a bit later. So
yeah, they're around the same time, yeah.
Yeah.
So look, it's fine. It's fun. He's a thief. His brother has already been caught as a thief and punished for that. Early on in the book, his father, who's another swindler, is, I think his father's executed and his mother is arrested for being a witch. So... comes from a questionable family, let's say, father, mother, and brother. He's a nice enough, likable chap, but, you know, he just goes around performing small misdeeds, a few thefts here and there, a few little swindles, and he moves around from city to city in the typical picaresque manner, you know?
Yeah.
There's little bits of humor in the book. For example, there's one girl who's chasing some chickens around, and she says, pío, pío. And then she actually comes in to the priest and says, I want to confess because I called the chickens Theo, but that's what we call, that's actually what we call heads of the church. And so I've conflated chickens with churchmen, and that's a sin. And I should, you know, confess and be punished for that. There's little silly things that crop up from, I didn't know that about Theo, but yeah. He makes a friend, Don Diego, who he's later estranged from, which is sad. And he finds out then, obviously, what happened with his father and his mother and everything. He goes to meet his uncle, and he hopes that his uncle will give him good news on his inheritance and help him out, and nothing really comes of it. But his travels, I would say he doesn't travel very far by modern standards. You know, it's like the big journey from Segovia to Madrid. you know, which is like 20 minutes on the train. You know, it's not
Yeah.
and then of course at one point is he makes it as far as Sevilla, which fair enough is a little bit farther. But there's a very funny moment where after having been in Madrid, he says, you know, I've got to go somewhere where no one will know me. How about Toledo? Which again is about half an hour by train from Madrid. So it's not very far. And I thought that was quite funny. He doesn't make it far, but then he mentions in that closing line, I'm going to try America next.
All right,
The
okay.
new
Yeah,
world, you
interesting.
know. But he
Interesting.
does get arrested a couple of times and he manages to avoid getting tortured by befriending the jailer and this kind of stuff. So it's your usual picaresque things. There's little bits of humor in there. But it really is just him traveling around this relatively small area around Madrid. I
Okay.
liked it enough, but I don't know if I would. If you're happy enough reading, you know, this type of stuff that I haven't enjoyed as much as I should have, like La Regenta and Don
And
Quixote.
Don Quixote. Well,
Yeah.
more it sounds more like no, it sounds more like if you like Don Quixote, you might like this. It's
Yeah,
shorter.
it's
It's
a
around the
shorter
same
version.
period. It's picaresque.
Yeah.
I kind of sound like the sound of it, to be honest. I think I'd like to try that after I didn't quite finish Don Quixote, so I can maybe try it. I don't really
Yeah.
mind the language too much, so
I
it's
never get
not.
enough out of them and I always feel guilty, you know. Whereas I don't with newer Spanish books or with even old English books. But I read one last book and yes, I did go to Balzac.
Oh, of course you did. You had to finish
But
this out.
just before I get to it, I want to mention one other thing. In preparation for seeing Tartuffe tomorrow, I had a free hour today and I sat down for an hour and I read one very quick play. And this is obviously a Molière play, and it's called, let me see if I can just grab it here. Such Foolish Affected Ladies, I think is the title.
Oh.
I just thought I would mention it just in passing before I get to my last book. So I've just fetched the book here. And there we go. Yes, Such Foolish Affected Ladies. That was the correct title. So this is only 20 or 30 pages. I actually read it in about half an hour. But I just thought I would mention it. It's very funny. Essentially, this guy and these two guys leave these two ladies' company saying, you know, we came to flirt with these ladies, but they really didn't give us a very good reception. So we're not pleased. And the father bumps into them and he's like, he's annoyed because he wants one's his daughter and one's his niece. He wants them to get with these two men to marry them, get out of his house. He says, you're spending so much money on lip balms and girls things. I can't put up with these young women.
Okay.
So then what happens is the two gentlemen dress up their servants as, you know, one is a marquise and the other is a count or something, you know, two aristocrats. And the servants go in and woo the women by reading poetry and being gallant and saying that they're young men about town and they know everyone and they know all the goings on with the artists and the writers. And the women fall in love and they bring in some violinists and invite the neighbors over and they have a party. And then the two guys come in and say, aha, you're giving our servants a better reception than you gave us. And the idea is that the girls are now considered foolish for what they've done, and the uncle comes in and chases the musicians out with a stick and says, you know, you've made us a laughing stock and it serves you right. You should have married those nice young gentlemen in the first place. It was funny. I actually really enjoyed it.
Okay, fair enough. Good. Well, that's good because you're going to see Tartu. So let's see how you
Yeah, and
find
I've
that.
never actually I've seen Tartuffe before in Spanish, but I'm
All
looking forward to seeing it in English and I'll hopefully I'll get a bit more
right,
out of
okay.
it. But I just thought it'd be
Okay.
fun to read something by Molière before I went, and I just had that
Yeah,
free,
to
you
get
know,
that
to half
feeling
hour
for
today.
it. That's cool.
But it was a fun read, and it made me feel good about going to see them. One moment I like is they speak in this really, they keep telling their father and uncle he's so old, you've got to get with the times, and they have silly names for things, and I've written it. They tell their servant to bring the Counselor of the Graces. And she says, well, what's that when it's at home? And they say, bring us the mirror, you ignoramus. So they call the mirror the Council of the Graces. And they say, and take care that you don't dirty the glass by letting your reflection get in it. Which I thought was
Oh,
just absolutely fantastic.
yeah, so you could use that phrase yourself, huh?
And the guy writes this poetry that's all, you know, you stole my heart, stop thief, I cry, and all this really okay. effective stuff. It's his flirting method, though, brings us into our sponsor for this month. We're sponsored by the admirable company for flirting with ladies by asking them to compliment your own clothing.
That's effective. That's
so we can provide you with all the trimmings that you will need, frills aplenty, for this very purpose. And he says, you know, why don't you compliment my powdered wig and my dress and my this and my that and my perfume and my knee lace? They make a lot of thing about the knee lace.
God.
And she said, he says, I think it's a foot longer than common. And she says, I have never seen vestimentary style carried to such a pitch of elegance. It's everything knee lace should be.
You know what to say about knee lace and the size, you know what I mean? Just saying, like.
But I love that line. It's everything knee lace should be. Like, she's just captivated and in love by this. I don't even know what knee lace is.
Look, if you got a big knee lace, you've got a big, you know, you got a big thumb, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I mean.
So I'm going to get to my last book. It is, of course, by Honoré de Balzac. I think we've reviewed more Balzac than anyone else on this show, actually.
I think so. Maybe Dr. Litt? Maybe. No, I think even Balzac more, yeah.
Maybe. But a fair few Doc Litt as well. A few Dumas as well. Sadly, I never got to review any Dickens because I'd read them all before we started the show.
Yeah.
And he's my favorite. But here we go. It's The Tragedy of a Genius. Do you know this one?
Oh. No,
lovely purple book here. I never heard of it either. You may remember I stopped reading Balzac because they were going a bit downhill. This one was fantastic.
Oh, nice.
I loved it. I didn't look it up to see where it sits in the human comedy, if it's maybe in the provincial life or whatever, because it's not set in Paris itself. But I loved this book. It's very simple. It's a very, very straightforward plot. There's a guy who is a genius, and Balthazar. He wants to discover, he starts to do chemistry, and essentially it's alchemy. And he's searching for, it's not clear, he thinks he can make gold and diamonds, but he's also looking for the absolute. And he's maybe, people are saying that he's looking for the Philosopher's Stone and this type of stuff. Okay. So that's him. It's an interesting start. It doesn't start like a Balzac, but then you'll see the familiar tropes coming in a minute. So they mention in the early pages that this couple, and he's actually a Dutchman living in France, and his wife is a Spanish lady from a Casa Real family, a rich Spanish lady living in France. And they get married, and they have many years of just really good love and devotion and happiness. And they say, thank goodness he doesn't have any manias like his predecessors. One collected portraits, one collected tulips, one collected sculptures or something else. And they say, thank goodness I've got the only normal one. And then, of course, he discovers chemistry, and that becomes the worst of all. It's so well written, and there's some really nice quotes and things about how she feels that she's losing her husband, he's cheating on her, but with an enemy that she cannot fight, because the enemy is not a woman, but science. And some really nice, you know, pieces like that. But they basically portray the Spanish wife as just fantastic, you know? And she, it's this, again, I know it's France rather than England, but it's this Victorian era idea about just self-sacrifice and devotion, you know? And she actually gets totally excluded. So her husband basically starts completely abandoning her. Like, she doesn't see him for days on end. He's locked up in another part of the house doing his experiments. He's going around in old dirty clothes, and he doesn't speak to her. He doesn't give her any affection. So she learns chemistry to try to understand him better. And she succeeds in that, and she's able to converse with him, and she wins him back for like a few weeks or whatever, and then off he goes again to his experiments. And you know, it's really a tale of love turned to abandonment. And he really pays no attention to his wife or to his daughters, and doesn't notice when he actually spends all the money. He spends millions of livres, I guess it would have been. Spends millions of money in the 1800s, so that's a lot, and gets them into massive debt, and the family just keeps saying, but he's a great man, and we must respect him, and, you know, they keep putting him on the pedestal no matter how bad he gets, and they all end up trying to work out the debts for him and everything like this, and he just keeps getting them into more and more debt. He ruins the family's reputation time and time again. It's really sad, and they just keep this, like, stalwart devotion. They think he's a great man. I'm not going to talk too much. It's 300 pages. Again, I'm going to try to keep most of my remarks to the first half. But one crucial thing, and it might seem like a spoiler, but it's important, is that eventually the mother dies. And, you know, she's so long abandoned that he barely comes down to see her die on her deathbed. You know, he barely notices that she's sick. And they actually say that his love makes her brighten up. So when he comes into a room, she seems okay. And they have their evening meal together, and then he goes away. And then for everyone else, she's on a sick bed. And they sell all the paintings, and they sell all the tulips, and they do everything they can. But it's the daughter, Marguerite, who actually becomes the protagonist later in the novel. She takes charge, and she's able to control him for a time. And she gets the whole family out to work, and she sorts everything out. And just when it seems it's all sorted, he then gets them into more and more and more debt. And there's one horrible moment where he actually takes a pistol and threatens to shoot himself if she doesn't give him the last pennies that they have to feed themselves, to buy bread that he wants to use on more supplies for his chemistry. So it's really sad.
But it's all esque, but I suppose it's similar in the sense of Pere Goriot. Old man Goriot, the other way around, where the daughters are just taking the last penny out of him, and he's just living a poor man's life while the daughters are living a rich woman's life. Yeah. So it's all about exploitation, isn't it? Yeah. But
eventually here, everyone is living in poverty, even though it seems that Marguerite might be able to recover it. There's a lovely quote here, though. How fight against its incessant, tyrannical, and growing power? How kill an invisible rival? How can a woman whose power is limited by nature struggle against an idea whose enjoyments are boundless and the attractions ever fresh? What to attempt against the coquetry of ideas which freshen themselves? And it goes on and on. But basically, she's saying that science is his mistress, you know?
Right, yeah.
And it's very beautifully written. It's a very fun book, but it's very sad as well. And there's some nice characters who help out, and there's a gentleman, a de Solis, who tries to, like, administer certain things for them to help them out, and his son wants to actually marry Marguerite at one point and trying to look after her. Even at the end, even when he's ruined them over and over again, they still continue to give him respect as their great father, and you're a great man, you come from this great family, and you're in your ancestral home, which you've stripped bare, you know? And it's almost like he didn't deserve that, actually. And it's this submission that they give to the head of the household, which I didn't really love, because he's almost become like the child, and the mother, and then later the daughter is actually looking after everything, you know?
Yeah.
But they continue to just give him this almost worship, you know. The only difference is the mother had romantic love for him and would put up with a little bit more than the daughter would, you know. But if you liked any Balzac or any of this type of thing, then I really recommend this one, The Tragedy of a Genius.
Okay, cool. Nice.
That's
a good Balzac.
That's it. That's the end of my books for today. The last book we will review together.
Well, guys, it's been a wonderful journey, and thanks for listening. And well, I look forward then to listening to you guys. It's going to be a different perspective now, I suppose, the next generation, the next phase. And but not really that much, because our mutual friend Alex has been there, not quite from the beginning, but quite. What was it? Maybe about a year after we started the show.
I think
you
so.
You met him. Yeah. We started in October 2020.
And then it was October that I met him, a year later. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's been great. Thank you so much, Dave.
No problem.
Yeah.
It's been great having you on, PJ. Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Even Alfred is thanking you. I think we've done good work with the show. We've recommended books, but we've also taught Shakespeare. We've tried to help recommend books, to improve literacy with the kids. I think we've done some good work. And
I think so.
And it's been lovely, lovely doing it with you, and you will be missed. We'll recommend everyone, if you would like to get in touch, you've got booksboys@hotmail.com, or you can head over to Instagram at booksboyspodcast, and of course the website booksboys.com has links to all the places you can listen and everything else, and it would be nice if you spread the word. We will continue the show in one form or another. The last thing we need to do is to play a song, and I had an idea. I thought, unless you have anything better... We might close with, my suggestion was Laughing Boy Dancing. The backstory of this was, PJ, you did some nice instrumental tracks, and there was one called Laughing Boy Running many years ago, and I really liked this strong piano loop that you used, so I decided to just use that and turn it into a house song, and I called Laughing Boy Dancing.
It's one of my favorite songs from you, actually. I really loved that one, so I'm actually really looking forward to hearing this, because I haven't heard it for a while now.
Yeah, in a long time. And I mean, look, I tried to do some house bits, and I'm sure bits of it might come across as cheesy or whatever nowadays. But the main reason I want to play it is I think you did a really good banging job on the piano. But also, for a fitting goodbye to you, the song does end with a audience chant of PJ, PJ, PJ. So I thought that would be a fitting closure for your last episode of Books Boys.
Thanks so much.
And that's it. If the DJ would spin that record, myself and hopefully Playboy Alex will be back in about a month.
See ya!
Laughing boy dancing. Edit.
Books Boys was presented by The Dean and PJ Burke in association with Thaddeus Penguin Productions. This episode was brought to you by our sponsor,
Kneelaces.
If you would like to get in touch, you can email us at booksboys@hotmail.com or visit us at booksboys.com. The intro uses Driving in the 70s from the Of Soundtracks and Garage Bands EP by Trapdoor. And the outro uses Dog's Light by Bravo Max from the album of the same name. All music used is either PodSafe or used with permission.
If you'd like to support the show, go to patreon.com/booksboys, get the show early and all of our bonus Boof Fandaboy shows, and you can also check out our music on Spotify or Apple Music.
Thank you kindly for listening to us. Please tell your friends and come back next time for another episode of Books Boys. Read some books!
Oh no. Don't record it.
95 bucks or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.